Sudoku Podcast Episode Number 1 Rubik's Sudoku. Hello everyone, my name is Jennifer, and this is the premiere episode of the Sudoku Podcast. Today I will be reviewing the Rubik's Sudoku puzzle game and discussing a few other little things. But first I would like to say why I've decided to do a Sudoku podcast for those who are probably curious about that. I just felt there was a need for this. I just saw how popular Sudoku is, and I love it so much, and I had the urge to do this. There are so many great Sudoku-based products, games, books, websites that people may not know about, and I want to bring that information to you, fellow Sudoku maniacs. So that's why I decided to do this. Right now I have lots of energy for doing podcasts, and lots of ideas for episodes, and lots of stuff I can review. So, I'm not going to give you a permanent commitment. We will see how it goes first, to see how popular this gets, and how many things I can come up with. We're going to start every 2 weeks. If it turns out there's not as much as I thought I could talk about, it'll go to a one-month podcast. But if it turns out there's a whole bunch of stuff I can talk about, it'll go to weekly. But right now, it'll be every 2 weeks I will produce a podcast. Okay, it's time for my review of the Rubik's Sudoku game board. This is by the makers of the infamous Rubik's Cube, the color square block game that you have to rearrange the colors in order to get the colors in the right spots. They have created a Rubik's Sudoku game board, which is, it's a plastic frame with little Sudoku numbered pieces, but each of the pieces are colored. So that adds a different element to the gameplay. You can play based on numbers, or you can play based on the colors you see, and it makes things a little bit more interesting. Just a description of the product. It's a basic plastic frame with all the cells separated. The number pieces actually they are formed so that they can fit into a slot on the grid, and they won't move around. Like if you shake the thing, they won't come out of place. They're pretty solidly stuck in there. You have to pull them out. Just don't flip the whole thing upside down. They'll come out. It has a drawer that pulls out. Inside the drawer, you have a manual with instructions, lots of puzzle tips and techniques. You have little other things. You have spare numbers for each color in case you lose a piece. And they have also, say you have like a blank spot and you're not sure what goes there, you can put these colored markers in for your potential numbers, just like you would if you were drawing on a piece of paper Sudoku or in a video game Sudoku. You can put a little marker of different numbers that may go into that spot. The only drawback to these markers are there are only 5 for each color. These don't have numbers on them, so you'd have to be playing by color to use these. You can get more on the Rubik's website. I did check that out. You can also get more replacement pieces for this, so, and you can download a PDF of the manual. You don't have to have it as a paper if you'd rather have the PDF. But this is pretty good for travel, because everything goes into this drawer and it's all stowed away. And when you close the drawer, you got the top frame, and then there's a lid that is attached to it also that swings down and covers everything up, and everything is kept neat. And if you turn it upside down, very few pieces actually come out. So it's pretty good. It's pretty solidly built. Personally, I just think this is great for travel. You can take any numbered puzzle, Sudoku puzzle you find. You can set it up in this board, solve it at your leisure. This would be good for, like, if you had enough of those little markers. I suppose you need backup markers. But this would be good for if you're trying to solve something really nasty and you can't figure it out. But you have these colors now that add to it. So you can almost see instantly if you can't quite see the number or the numbers are just getting to you. You have colors. You can go back to just doing it by color. And that really changes it. And you also, you can just close the lid on an unfinished puzzle and then come back to it later and it's still there. That's just, it's just wonderful for a little board game that you can take into the living room. You can have it by the bedside. There's only a few grabs. One, the number 7 number is very dark. Like, it's a dark blue. So, in low lighting, this doesn't work. You need to have proper lighting for this. You can't just have your little bedside lamp. You want to have lighting enough so you can see all the grid colors against the black background. It's a little bit dark. And the other gripe was the little number markers that don't have numbers on them. Those are my only two gripes, really. What I really loved about this, though, which makes it so good for doing pre-made puzzles, is that each number is double-sided. Each number marker is double-sided. On one side, you have a silver number. On the other side, there's no color. It's just an indentation. So you can have your puzzle set up with the regular indented numbers as your givens. And then you can have the silver number up as the ones you are placing. So that if you ever mess up, you know exactly which ones you put down in the first place. You're not going to get messed up. I really, really like that. For a little physical travel game, that's pretty good. For a non-electronic travel game, that's a pretty good little detail. I don't know if they did that on purpose or if this was just on accident, but it really useful to have it that way. This would be good for kids too, because they can ignore the numbers and just play the colors. Or they can learn Sudoku from puzzles. Or you can just have 4 of the 9 grids filled with colors and numbers. And they could fill that out. Or you could have a whole family around the same puzzle solving it together. It can be a real family experience. So I really like this product. It is really good. It gets 4 out of 5 stars. 1 star missing because of those gripes with the number markers. They're not being enough and they're not having numbers. That's my only gripe. Oh, there was one other thing that bothered me. The puzzle book that they come with, it doesn't come with the answers. You can't check your answers against anything. So if you're stuck and you really, really, really stuck, you can't find the answer anywhere. You're going to have to depend on, say, an online software solver, a Sudoku solver or something. But other than that, like, the instruction book is pretty good. It gives a lot of little tips. And there's a lot of puzzles. Various difficulty puzzles. Easy, all the way to fiendishly difficult. And I, being a masochist, the first thing I did was do an easy puzzle. And then the second one I did was one of the fiendish puzzles. And I couldn't finish that fiendish puzzle. So there is something here for every level of Sudoku player in the puzzle book. And once you're done the 100 puzzles, like if you can get through the fiendish ones, once you're done the 100 puzzles, you can just take any puzzle, Sudoku puzzle, from any book, online website, whatever, and stick it in here. And you can replay it. And the pieces don't move, they're still there, you can bring it with you, you can travel, you can flip it upside down once with the lid is closed, and all the pieces will mostly stay in the same spots. It's quite excellent. 4 out of 5 stars. I recommend anybody who sees this should pick it up if you're a fan of physical, in-your-hand Sudoku puzzles. If you're somebody who sticks completely to digital games, you're not going to like this because there's no automatic correction. There's no special digital functions. It is just a physical, simple board game with a lot of little additions like colors and double-sided numbers and all that. Okay, check it out, and thank you for listening to this review. Well, that's it for the first episode of the Sudoku Podcast. I hope you liked it. I'm pretty new to this podcasting thing, so I will see how well I can get these episodes edited for you. I will try not to make the edits too obvious. You'll probably see a lot of obvious edits in my first podcast. Just because I'm new to this and I'm new to doing reviews and things like that, I'll probably have to remove a lot of ums or whatever. If you have anything you'd like to see reviewed on the show, send me an email, sudokupodcast@gmail.com. Let me know in the email. And I won't just do reviews of things I like. I'll try to steer people away from things that I didn't like as well. DS games, definitely. I'll do Sudoku DS games. I'm a little annoyed because there's a Sudoku PSP minis, and I don't have quite enough money in my PSN account to buy that mini, so I'm going to have to add money to my PSN account, which is a pain. But I'm going to be doing that review for that PSP game eventually. The next review I'm going to do will probably be a DS game that I really, really love that I want to share with you. People who don't have a DS, great for Sudoku, for the puzzles that are available. There's like a bunch of them, and they're all really good. I'm going to review them all if I can. And an iPod Touch, definitely hundreds and hundreds of iPhone apps you can get on this device. Sudoku, number puzzles, anything. That's just great as a device. So if you want a mini review of the iPod Touch, I'm going to probably do that just as a platform for Sudoku and puzzle games. That'll be a good review. Yeah, so I'm going to see how everything works out. I'm going to have lots of reviews. I'm going to do once every 2 weeks. If I get lots and lots of stuff to review, if I get lots and lots of comments, I will increase it to once a week. But right now, every 2 weeks sounds good for me. And that's about it. The music I use for the show is a track called Slave of Your Mind by Digital Dream. You can download this song on Jamendo.com. Just search for the artist Digital Dream. And the song is called Slave of Your Mind. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.